Good morning, family. Good morning, brother Jesse. Good morning. Hello, family. My husband talks often about Jesus Calling. It's a little devotional book, and he's been reading it over and over again for about 7 years, I think. Maybe a little less than that, but 9 years, maybe a little more than that. And this morning in Jesus Calling, it says, I'm calling you to a life of thankfulness. I want all your moments to be punctuated with thanksgiving. And this is the line that got me so strongly. And this is what it says. When you criticize or complain, you're acting as if you think you could run the world better than I do. I'm going to read that again. When you criticize or complain, you are acting as if you think you could run the world better than I do. And I'm like, ouch. Since November 1st, I have been reading a thankfulness, gratefulness thing every day. And I don't think I've missed a day, except there's only 30 days in some of the months, and there's 31 days in some of the months, so there's like one in the middle there. But anyway, I've been trying to make myself be thankful and grateful. I have been purposing in my heart to try and be more thankful. So I actually have a reminder on my phone, and the reminder says, read about being thankful. And so that makes me go to my thankful photo, and it says, what's your thankfulness for today? Well, my thankfulness for today was kindness. And I'm thinking how the world has really gotten into a habit of not being very kind, you know? And I don't mean that you go to people and you fake it until you make it. That's not what I'm saying. But I believe that the faith that we have within us, we can faith it until we make it. Our faith can grow that we're going to be more kind. Our faith can make us do things for the Lord that we wouldn't otherwise do, or that we go against the character of who we think that we are. Who we think we are is so far from who God thinks we are. Did you know your picture's on his refrigerator? And his refrigerator's not broken like ours at this point in time. His refrigerator's working, so he goes to it, opens it, but first he sees your picture hanging there. So he thinks a whole lot more of you than you think of yourself. So today, I'm thankful, Jesus. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for your love. I'm thankful for where you have me, Lord. So, Father, today, help us to, as my sweet friend Vicky said, to throw every care, every concern at the cross. Throw it there. Help our worship to be sweet. Help our words to be love and kindness. Help us to be better today than we were yesterday, Lord. May our worship be sweet to you and rise as incense in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Oh, Be on. Jesus. What a powerful thing that is. Like that we're just singing how he's such a living hope, you know? He came and set us free so that we can be free indeed. And I don't know about you, church, but I want to be able to express that, you know? So if you are so obliged and would like to have an opportunity, I invite you guys to the altar to just be free. As we sing through that one more time with an uplifted heart and a heart full of gratitude that he came, he rose, and he conquered death. He conquered sin. He told it where to go, and he won. He went, right? So if there's something that's holding on to you or causing you to be distracted or just weighing you down, I just encourage you to come up front and just lay it before the feet of Jesus and begin to allow him to fill you with that joy, the joy of overcoming, the joy of being set free, the joy of just being able to take today with the strength that he's given you for today and let tomorrow worry about itself. So Jesus, we just give you this time. Yes. Will you guys sing it again? Keep that going one more time. I just really feel like God is here and he just wants to break something here that just needs to be broken. So if we just give him a few more minutes.
Lost its grip on
just want to do that one more time, but I want just the voices. Just the voices. It's our voices that will bring down mountains when we speak out in faith and just believe. And so I just want us to do that. Okay? Time.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my
yes, Lord. Yes, Father, I thank you, God, that death has lost its grip on me, God. Father, that you have broken every chain. God, that there is not one that has permission to hold itself to us anymore, Lord. That you went in and you took authority and you gave it back. God, I'm so thankful that your name is salvation. I'm so thankful for your sacrifice. God, I thank you. I thank you that we get to celebrate you today and every day. God, I thank you that it's not just on Sunday that we get to praise you and thank you and remember you. Papa, I pray that you would just touch every single person in this house tonight or today, Lord, and that they would just feel you in a whole and tangible way, God, that they would feel you and see you working in their lives in a different way throughout this week, God, that it would just be undeniable that you're with us, Father. Lord, we give you all the glory. We say hallelujah in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Yes. Yeah, let's just give the Lord a shout of praise. Man, he's incredible. He is such a good God, such a good Father. And he's all about relationship, and he's all about doing things in community. So if you guys will just take the next few minutes just to greet one another, love on each other, grab some refreshments, and we'll resume.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many have ever heard of the term soaking? Soaking. Anyone? Soaking? No one? One person. Couple. Okay, soaking. So what it entails is for our hearts to be still, quiet before the Lord, and let his presence, usually it's through like some type of music or some type of song, and we're letting our hearts just kind of be quiet and still and receive his presence, receive the awakening in our hearts that he's already there. Because you all know that God's with you all the time. It's your heart becoming more aware of his existence around you. Years ago, I know we're going to get to heart declaration, but I'm going to give this testimony. I was sitting in my house, and I was just thinking about God and just thinking about his presence, and this thought came to me that he is always there, and that unfortunately it's like I've opened the door to a friend who came into my house that I love and I have a relationship with and I enjoy their company, but I ignore them and I just sit there and continue watching TV or reading a book or doing whatever I was doing and not acknowledging my friend, the presence of my friend. And the Lord really put on down in my heart that all we really need to do is say, Lord, I recognize that you're here. I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to turn my attention to you. Well, that's what we're trying to do on Sunday mornings when we're tarrying, kind of waiting on the Lord, when we're you know, holding the atmosphere. Like Nancy was saying, let's press in a little bit more. We're trying to let our hearts connect with God, maybe in a new way. You know, we all have our preconceived ideas of who God is and what he's done in our lives or what he's done in someone else's life. But today can be a new, fresh day. His mercies are new every morning. And so we always need to approach every day, not just Sundays, Monday morning when you're driving to work. What is he going to do new in your life today? That it's not about you know, the past. It's, you know, it's about what is he doing in this moment in my life. Amen. Well, with that said, let's go ahead and have the heart of the house declaration. So if you would stand with me. And on three, we're going to declare this nice and loud. That means you have to open your mouth and make a sound come out. So just so I don't just hear myself. On three, one, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind, and we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Yes, amen, Lord, we do. We just declare that you are working in our waiting, Lord. As we are here today, Lord, even though we're not always in it, sometimes our minds are thinking about what we're going to do after we leave church. We know that you're still working in our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you would continue to do that. Lord, we know that you are the one that's at work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. So, Lord, we submit our lives to that truth. We submit our hearts to that truth, Lord, that you're working in us, Lord, that you are building us up, Lord, in our most holy faith, Lord, as we pray in the Spirit, Lord, as we seek you, Lord, we will find you when we search for you with all our hearts. And, Lord, I pray that we would be the lights, Lord, that you've called us to be. Lord, you've translated us, you've delivered us out of darkness and translate us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, into the light, Lord. So I pray that that light that we live in, Lord, would be emanating from us, would be radiating from us, Lord, that when people communicate with us, when people see us, Lord, they see you, they see the light of God. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Q.
Hi, guys. What's up? Oh, all right. So just wanted to remind you guys that we have pre-service prayer here in the mornings. It's from 9:45 to 10 a.m. So if you want to come and join us and just get the Spirit moving a little bit more, or just have that little bit of extra Jesus time before we get into the other things, it's really good. I really just encourage you guys, if you can, make it here. Like, kind of, I challenge you to at least once in a month make it a priority to make it here.
That's good.
At that ungodly hour sometimes and make it godly, you know, like be here and be ready just to turn your spirits on and just get going and warmed up for the rest of the day. Because I'm telling you, like, there is nothing like being able to enter your day into prayer. And especially when you're praying over what's going to be happening for the rest of the day, it's amazing. And it's just really, really a fun time to watch it unfold and just how favor-filled and amazing he really is. And then there's the spaghetti fundraiser. You guys, I'm so excited. It's like the spaghetti fundraiser. Sorry, guys. I'm really excited if you can't tell. I love this. It raises money for our youth. It also allows a couple things. One, being community. Like, we get to visit and fellowship with each other a little bit more than we get to on a normal Sunday. Two, we get to watch our youth serve you guys and be there for you. I love that. Like, in you guys being able to really get to know them on a different level and get to see their hearts and understand what it is that you're pouring and tithing into and giving into, because these kids are amazing. They're phenomenal young people, and they are, I mean, they're just growing so much in their spirit-filled lives, and it's just amazing watching them want to continue to climb that ladder of faith and just see how much more they can tap into, how much more they can tap into. And this gives them a practical way to serve you guys and to be the hands and feet of Jesus by giving you a good meal after an excellent service, and you guys get to have the best community and fellowship time, right? So logistics of this is we have a sign-up sheet somewhere around this house. Oh, he's right here. Hello. Isn't he gorgeous? Okay, so the sign-up sheet, I just need to know the name. So this is going to help us, me, because I'm a planner, and him, and it will let us know like how many people are planning to come. So if you could put your family name, if you're planning your family's number, how we can contact you if we have any other questions, but also if you plan on bringing anybody else, just so we know numbers. So when I go to buy the food, I can buy and not overdo, because I tend to overdo. And so I'm trying to stay frugal and accountable. This helps me. So if you guys can please put your name on there if you plan on coming. If you're not sure, put a question mark just so I know you're still not sure and I can touch base with you coming closer before I go and do the buying, just so that helps me. It will be $7 a plate, but then if our family's five and more, it's just $25 flat. Okay.
The more you bring, the more you save.
And then the other thing is we will be having a raffle. And in that raffle, so every plate that you buy will be one ticket that you get just automatically. So when you buy a plate, you get a ticket. And then if you guys want to buy extra chances at the raffle, it's $5 a ticket after that.
And we will be selling tickets after service
and plates. So if you are interested, I know we have the ability to do cash, but are we on the card yet? Okay, card. Our card system is set up. So if you guys want to do it that way, you're more than welcome. You just are one of those that like to get it done and over with and know that your seat is reserved.
And they can donate over above.
Yes, you can give above if you want to. That's on for every $5 that you give above, you get a ticket automatically. And let's see here. Am I missing anything? I think that's good for now. I'll give you more details later. Yes. Yes. So you can donate for a kid to go to camp. Yes, but no, if you win the raffle, so we have a couple different items or things that are bundles that will be put together, and then you get that on the day of. So on the day of the spaghetti feed, we will pull tickets, and if that's your ticket, then you get whatever it is that is up and coming. But
anybody can donate for kids to go to camp.
Absolutely. If you don't want to come to the spaghetti feed, but you want to give towards the kids going, we can also do that as well. Just let us know. We can rent a card. You guys can write a check or give cash, whatever helps. So just pray into that. If the Lord moves you in that way to do that, please do. I mean, we have how many kids? Is on a regular, I know we have regular about 10 to 14. Sometimes we have up as under the number of like 18, 19. But on camps so far, I know we have a solid 10 that really want to go. And so it would just be any money that we can get towards it, because we will have to purchase some type of transportation to get them there, as well as the entry fee for the camp. And so there's a couple different things that go into this. And so every dollar counts. And when we tell it where to go, God is so faithful and just to make it just do a lot more than what the natural says it could do. So thank you guys for whoever is going to be part of that. Please bring family and friends. Okay.
I would say this too. Nancy's a lot nicer than I am in regards to, like, if you don't want to come, just give money. I would say come, because this is something our church is doing and it's important to us. We're putting a lot of work into this, and our youth are going to be serving at this. And so we want to make it worth their while as well. And so just come, you know, and have a plate of spaghetti and enjoy some fellowship, and it's going to be great. So the last thing we have is just our offering, our giving. We just want to say again, thank you for everyone who gives. And like Nancy just alluded to a moment ago about putting your money, telling your money where to go. That is the essence of tithing, is that you give out of a place of intentionality and not just because that's what church people do and that's what you're supposed to do. And I grew up, they passed the basket and I put money in, but actually giving with intention and giving with God, you know, with the, with with a prayerful thought. God, I want this money to go to this house so you could do something specific and powerful in this house. Yeah. Amen. So you can give online at One Life Family Worship, and you could also give in the box in the back and the box over here. And we thank you guys for giving.
This is it's multiplied 100 times.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. So I've been reading through Ephesians 1 this week, actually since about the first of the month, and I've been reading the entire chapter, and I've been reading it in different translations every single day. And just meditating on it and thinking about it and being challenged by it. I almost want to do all of Ephesians 1. We still may, but right now I really wanted to focus on these scriptures, Ephesians 1, 15 through 21. And I thought, oh, when was the last time I preached on this? You know, because I like to, you know, kind of do things fresh. And so I started looking through all my messages that were on PowerPoint, couldn't find anything. So I started going through the archives of our webpage, you know, where it has the listen, and I started looking through. I couldn't find it. So, you know, the thing is, I've included it in messages, sometimes just quoting it, and I couldn't even find a lot of messages where I've actually had this. But how many have, like, a favorite verses? First, verses that, you know, when you hear them, they do something in your being. Anybody? Anybody have any favorite verses? If you don't, you need to get some. You need to find something that gets you excited in God. You need to find a verse that when you read it, oh, man, that makes me think about, you know, what Jesus did for me on the cross, or that makes me think about who I am in Christ, or that makes me think about who we are as the body of Christ, something like that. We need, you know, it's the word of God that's living and active, right? And it's able to divide between our thoughts and our intents of our heart, and it's a discern. Yeah, it goes deep. And so, if you're not getting it in you, if you don't have something that you latch onto, then wow, that's not good. So I'm sure you guys do have favorite verses. Maybe you're not like getting all excited right now, but this is one of mine. This is one that I 18 and 19 I quote a lot. When I'm talking to people, because it's a verse or verses that really communicate the heart, I believe, of God towards us. Because Paul the apostle was a not just a, you know, a preacher, but he is also like a mentor of the church, and I look at him like a father of the church, and he's a type of father representing God to us because he had such a divine revelation of what God really wanted to do in us. And these verses really communicate that. So let's go ahead and take a look at this. First of all, 15 through 21, I'm going to be kind of using sometimes, you know, 17 through 20. So it's not going to be always 15 through 21, just for those of you who are like, you know, tension, specific, or
this will be the foundation.
This will be the foundation. Yeah. Exactly. Let's go ahead and take a look at it.
Ephesians 1, 15 through 21 in the ESV. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come.
Wow, is that not a mouthful? I mean, is that not like a lot to take in? I mean, it's like, and that's the way all of Ephesians 1 is. Actually, the entire book of Ephesians is I like to think that Ephesians in Paul's writings is like the book of John in the four Gospels, because it's so powerful, it's so transcended, it's so heavenly connected, you know, and that's kind of the way that John wrote. So, but looking at this, it says, for this reason. What reason? Well, the previous 14 verses. That's the reason that he's given. And that those include the idea that Christ has redeemed us with his blood. That it has his blood that has made us pure and saved and holy in God's sight. It's the idea that we have been chosen before the foundation of the world. We've been chosen in him. I know that's hard for us to understand because, you know, we just think our existence is, you know, when we're born, you know, and most of us don't remember the first, you know, 2 years of our life, hardly at all. But God had us in mind before anything even started. Now that's like a big, deep thought, but it's what we should believe as Christians. That's a major foundation, really, of a Christian faith, is that God has chosen us in him, to be in him from the very foundation of the world. Some people say, oh, well, you know, Adam and Eve fell in the garden, then he had to come up with something. No, he knew Adam and Eve were going to have happen what happened, but he had already come up with something, and that was Jesus being slain also from the foundation of the world. Go ahead.
Well, and I just want to say that some people might find the concept of 1 through 15 a little creepy. And what I mean by that is, if you have not made Jesus your Lord and Savior, if he is not everything to you when you're living your life for him, that someone would actually do that could be like, well, it needs to be my choice, you know. And I was sharing with a couple of people just before this is that God makes a plan for our life, and he kind of sets it out before us. We can say yes and we can say no. It doesn't mean he's going to love us any less. But we have the power, I want to say, to make the decision toward this one or that one. He lets it be our decision. However, if we make the right decision that we know to be the right decision, life will be great. But if we make the decision and it's the opposite, it kind of reminds me when you jumped out of the shower and you were looking in the mirror and you saw two roads. That's a whole nother story. But God said to him, if you go down this road, I'm going to love you. If you go down this road, I'm going to love you. But if you go down this road, life will not be easy. It's going to be hard. I'm going to ask a lot of stuff of you. And I'm going to be with you the whole way. But it will not be an easy road. Or you can continue on this road, which was, you know, a six-figure job, a nice house, nice car, and all that stuff. I'll still bless you and I'll still love you. But this road, being a pastor, giving up all of that, saying yes to God, that's a hard road to say yes to. But you know what? We're never going to be happy if we say yes to the wrong thing. Not really. He'll still love us with everything in him. But it's going to be a hard, even though looks like it's going to be the easy road, it's not going to be the easy road, because our spirit within us will always war against the decision that we made, I believe.
It can happen, that's for sure. Regret, second guessing ourselves.
Exactly.
One of the other reasons is that he's given us the Holy Spirit as a deposit, as a foretaste of our heavenly inheritance, our heavenly glories that we're going to have. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit is living in us now. And so for those reasons and many others, he's going to start praying for them, and he's thinking about them, and he's meditating and keeping them, holding them in his heart, and he's remembering them in his prayers, and he's declaring something over them in his prayers, in his heart, in his thoughts towards them. You know, sometimes you know, we can pray a prayer for someone, but then it doesn't really do justice what we sense in our hearts that we really want for them. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced that before. It's like oh, these prayers, there's something so much deeper. Well, that's so much deeper, God's filling in. You don't have to get the right words. That burden that you feel, that love that you feel for someone, God will work out the details. You don't have to try to figure out,
right,
how am I going to pray this? Just say, Lord, I love this person. I give them to you. You know my heart. You put this burden on my heart. Let it be fulfilled in their lives.
Right.
But he's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, you know, that's an interesting statement, that when we think of Jesus, we think of Jesus as the Son, right? We think of him as a Son. But he is also the Father. That's one of the titles that he has. Now, I don't think him and the Heavenly Father fight over that.
No.
You know, I think they're good in the oneness that they have. Mm-hmm. And they're not vying for, you know, authority and like, oh, I'm more up in the Godhead than you. No, I think they're all esteeming each other greater than themselves, which is what we're encouraged to do as believers,
right,
as husband and wife, submitting ourselves one to another, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the Godhead does. I don't think it's a hierarchy. I think it's a beautiful, I've heard some people describe it, it's a beautiful dance. It's a beautiful symphony. Them together, and it's a beautiful harmony of them together. Sorry to get off on that tangent, but the Father of glory may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We'll look at some other verses that really blow this up, but we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We don't need the spirit of the world. We don't need the spirit of fear. We need the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And what is that? I believe that's kind of identifying the mind of Christ. Mm-hmm. That's identifying how Jesus thinks. And some people think, oh, Pastor, you have no idea how I think. I mean, I can't even begin to think like Jesus thinks. Yes, you can. Because we have the mind of Christ. It's one of those things, again, we have the fullness of the Spirit in us. So we have the mind of Christ. It's, do we acknowledge it? Do we give ourselves time to not let our brains go off and try to think about everything, leaning on our understanding, but allowing that mind that's in us, the mind of Christ, to come to the surface, or the Holy Spirit speak to us, I believe is very similar. And then having the eyes of our understanding enlightened, that we may know the hope which he has called us to, the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints. And then I want to also focus a little bit on this part because it's not covered in everything. Here we go. Where it says, and what is the measurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might? In other words, there's a power that's available to us or given to us as believers that is according to his strength, but it's the same power that worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This reminds me of the scripture. It says that the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, gives life in the present tense to our mortal bodies, to our physical, in this flesh bodies, the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to focus on that for a second. And then he's far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion. There's no other name in heaven or earth that's above the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer is not above his name. Divorce is not above his name. Depression is not above his name. Anxiety is not above his name. Hatred is not above his name. Everything that you can see in the world that looks like it's got more power than Jesus, it's powerless compared to his name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean that it doesn't look like those things are winning sometimes? Yes, because they haven't submitted to his name. And, you know, it's not going to be until he rules all and is over all, as it says towards the very end of this book, very end of this chapter, that those names will totally be submitted to him. They won't have power anymore. But in Christ, we don't have to let any of that stuff have dominion over us.
Yeah.
You know, we can put them under our feet, which is Christ putting him under his feet, because we're his representative. We're his ambassadors. That means that when an ambassador goes to a country, I hope you guys know how an ambassador works. If they come to that country and they say something that they shouldn't have said, the whole United States is guilty. But they can also say something that when they say it that's good, the whole United States backs them up, because that they fully represent and fully are in the place of the United States when they're in that country. That's how we are with Christ. When we speak in Christ, it's as if God was speaking. I know that's powerful, but and sometimes it's heavy, yeah. But it's the truth. It doesn't mean that we're any better than anybody else, but it means that we've been given this authority. And this is why Paul's saying, the eyes of your understanding, be enlightened. Hope, get this. This is so powerful, what I'm telling you here right now. I want you to understand what I've just spoke about in the last 14 verses, but I also want you to get the idea and understand that you are endued with power by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go ahead and take a look at another verse. Or not another verse, another translation. You know me, I love translations because they keep saying things a little differently. It's like, oh, I never thought of it that way. So, New Living Translation.
Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he's given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms.
Amen. So why do we need spiritual wisdom and insight? It's saying insight here instead of revelation, but it's a great
Did
translation.
I say wrong?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's the word. I'm replacing it from the last previous translation. So that you might grow in your knowledge of God. You know, some people say, boy, I just haven't really, you know, I've been saved a lot of years. I just don't see a lot of fruit in my life. I don't see a lot of change, you know. Some people say, well, I haven't really done enough. You know, they'll put it that way. When we were talking with that couple at the lodge, one of the things that Roger said is that, you know, he just didn't feel like he had done enough for God, you know, that when he got in front of him that, you know, he was going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to do more for the Lord. Mm-hmm. But it's our knowledge of God, guys, that we will increase. In other words, as we grow in the knowledge of God, we grow in the character and nature of God. It's through those divine promises that it says that we have his divine nature. Christ's own divine nature. His nature we have through his promises. What is promise? That's his word. That's his communication. He is the ultimate word because he is the word. But as we get to know him, we grow in the knowledge of God. And then as we grow in that knowledge, we become more like God. Mm-hmm. And if you're saying, well, I haven't done much, I haven't grown much. Well, how much have you devoted to studying to show yourself approved to know God, to study God, to spend time with God? And as we do that, we know him. As we know him, we become more like him.
Right. And that's the scripture we were talking about on Tuesday on our way down to Tri-Cities, is that study to show yourself approved. It can be very convicting, because it's like I was saying to Mike and to myself, I've not studied very much in my eyes. Like, I know I've studied, but it feels like I've not studied enough. And that conviction is actually a good thing, because that's the very first scripture I ever learned in the Bible memorized. Most people would be John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But no, I did this one. And it has always been like a convicting thing in my heart that, you know, have I studied enough? Have I done that enough? And what is amazing is that as you're saying this, it reminds me of a few years ago when I found out, well, I'm going to go back a little bit ways. When I and my twin sister, identical twin sister, were born, they didn't know there were two until 10 days before we were born. So mom and dad thought it was girl, boy, girl, and that they would get another boy and they'd be done. Then they find out there's two in there 10 days before we come out. And it's like, oh no, what are we going to do, right? And so because I was the second born of the two, I have always felt, it's not probably truth, but I've always felt like I was like a tag-along, like a comma or an added something. And like my mom always says, so we already had Kayleen, if it was a girl, picked out. But we didn't have obviously two. So she goes down the alphabet until she finds something that sounds good, and that was my name. And I'm like, that's the best you could do? Like, you know, I'm thinking to myself, my whole life. Just a couple years ago, I found out that Gaylene is a derivative of Abigail. Unbeknownst to my parents, Abigail, being my grandma's name, they named me after my grandma. Okay, that was very powerful to me to learn that. This can be very powerful to us as a Christian to learn that our hearts can be flooded with light, that our that his very knowledge, that it can open up our eyes of understanding. My eyes were opened up to understanding. My name meant more than what I thought it did. My eyes had just been flooded with this, and my heart flooded with this. Ah, I'm named after my grandma. That's awesome. Well, Jesus wants our eyes of enlightenment to be bigger, to grasp more of what he's done for us. And you guys, this is not a condemning thing. This is an awesome thing. Because if we can understand that he wants to give us spiritual wisdom and insight, if we can understand that we can have a confident hope and where we've been called and what he has us set out to do, if we can be there and do that by having our hearts in line, our eyes opened, then how much richer is our life going to be? My life is fuller because I was named after my grandma, even though they didn't know. God did. God knew what my name was going to be. And maybe when my mom heard Gaylene sounds good from the alphabet, that was maybe God nudging her. Go there. Name her. Go ahead. I already got her name picked out. You know what I'm saying? That's what Jesus is saying. Go there. Let your eyes be flooded open with light. Let your hearts understand. You have more power in you to do things for Jesus than you ever even imagined. And it's because of what he's done for you.
Exactly.
Not because of who you are. And the more you allow him to speak into that for your life, the more powerful your life is going to be, not even necessarily maybe for others, but for even yourself. You can walk in that authority. Your body can be quickened because of the power of the Holy Spirit in you. It's a great time to be alive in Jesus. It really is. Because the world is looking for this truth in their lives. I mean, they are flooded with death, and they are flooded with lies. They are flooded with lack of truth. This is all truth. This is scripture. This is Jesus was a word. And it is truth. And it is, there's one song we were singing this morning, and I always sing it wrong. It's the foundation of your love. And I always sing it the foundation of your word. Isn't that the same thing though? But it is.
Can be.
But I mean, I always say word instead of love. But his word is love, and he gives us everything we need to make this life accomplishable. Is that a word?
Mm-hmm. If it's not, you just made it up?
I made it up.
It is accomplishable, yeah.
But I'm just saying, we can do this, you guys. We can. And I used to be a cheerleader, believe it or not. And I'm a good cheerleader. If you don't believe it about yourself, I do. Come and I'll cheer you. I really will, because you can do this. You can. Not because of any other reason, but Jesus lives in you.
And you are doing it. That's another thing, is sometimes we get so down on ourselves that we think, I haven't, like that one gentleman, I haven't done enough for God, and then we think we have to go out and do a bunch of stuff, but just allow God to be God in you and let him reveal himself to you, to know him. Yeah, you can, like I said, study to show yourself approved, but you can also just spend a devoted time to him and just say, Lord, just reveal yourself to me. Reveal who you are. in the depths of my being. Open my eyes to be my heart be flooded with your light, mm-hmm. and let me see who you are in my life. Mm-hmm. Let me see what you've done for me that is empowering me right now, mm-hmm. not 5-6 years from now, like right at this moment.
Yes, amen.
Let's go ahead and look at another verse here.
Oh boy.
Another translation.
This is a long one. The Amplified?
The Amplified, yeah. Is what it says in the movie?
Huh?
Oh, are you kidding?
I can't hear what he's saying.
Did you ever look up your name? What it means?
No.
I looked it up. It means.
Nice. Oh, dear.
That's awesome.
That's the name. You know, David's wife.
Wow. Yes, that's right.
God had a good name for you. Yeah. That's why you were such a good cheerleader.
There you go. See, God knew that
there
too.
There we go.
Yeah.
Amen.
It does. And it all, as Mike says, that it all pans out at the end. It all pans out at the end. It doesn't matter, like with Roger saying, oh, I don't feel like I've done enough. God's going to get a hold of that almost a lie,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to shake it up. One day when he's least expecting it, he's going to say, wait, do you love me? Are you doing this ministry? Because it is a ministry where we went, you guys. Are you doing this ministry for me? And he is. Do you pray? Do you read all of a sudden.
Do you love others?
Yeah. All of a sudden it's going to really encapsulate in a dawning moment. And he's going to recognize, yeah, I'm doing stuff for the Lord. I am. And it's going to become very personal. I love that. Okay, Amplified. 17 through 21, right?
No, 17 through 20.
Okay. I always pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may grant you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation that gives you a deep and personal and intimate insight into the true knowledge of him.
Hang on just a second. That gives you a deep and personal, intimate insight. The wisdom and the revelation, the mind of Christ, I believe the fruit and the life of the Holy Spirit gives us personal intimate insight into the true knowledge of him. In other words, who he is, not who others have told you he is, but who he is to you personally. I think we all need to have, you know, some people, you know, they get mad because they say, you know, this my relationship with God's personal, and they don't want to say anything, and they don't want to testify, but we all need to have a personal, intimate, one-on-one deep. With God. Deep.
Don't forget the deep.
Deep, exactly.
Because his deep cries out to our deep. And that depth of who we really are deep inside, he's very attracted to that. And are we really deep with anybody? Think about it. I mean, you know, does my spouse know every single thing about me? No, and I like it that way. No, I'm kidding. He doesn't, but he doesn't know everything about me, and he's the closest person on this earth to me.
And you don't know everything about you.
I don't know everything mm-hmm. about me. That's probably a good thing, too. But my deep and God's deep, his deep is very attracted to my deep because there's such truth in that deep. I mean, it's convicting sometimes. It's like, but it gives me a hope that he's going to clean up that depth of who I am so that I'm more pleasing to him when I move forward in him.
Amen. That's good.
For we know the Father through the Son. And I pray that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being,
In other words, the very essence of who we are, our very existence, that existence that lives and moves and has its being in him, the existence in him. That's who Paul's praying, that's what is illuminated.
And be enlightened.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Flooded with light by the Holy Spirit, that you will know and cherish the hope, the divine guarantee, the confident expectation to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, God's people. And so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his active spiritual power is in us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places.
The immeasurable, unlimited, surpassing greatness of his power. I mean, think about that. It sounds like we're describing his love. Immeasurable. Mm-hmm. You know, unlimited. And in a way, God's love is his power, and God's power is his love, because that's what he's empowered by. He is love. And I believe, you know, some people say, oh, I wish I was more powerful as a Christian. I like to do this because I've heard so many things over the years people say. I'm telling you, the most powerful thing that you can be as a Christian is love. Mm-hmm. I believe love, true love, is what will raise the dead. Mm-hmm. True love is what will heal the sick. True love is what will set the captives free. Because Jesus demonstrated that. Jesus was love incarnate. Mm-hmm. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, when it says that in John 14, not just grace and truth manifested, but love was manifested at the same time as well. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yes.
How are we doing? Do we have enough time to do the other three?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. All right, well, the introduction is becoming two messages. That's great.
That's all right.
So why did Paul want them to know this, and why is my heart want you to know this? And God ultimately is the one who wants you to know this, because he wants us to live successful, overcoming, righteous lives. And if we can grasp the immenseness of what God has poured out on us and what it means to have the Holy Spirit living in us, then we can actually be world changers, I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, where we're literally, you know, I was talking to somebody one time. I've said this many times, but when you go into a place, you know, it's not just, you know, your human body that's going there, your physical body. If you're in Christ, the kingdom of God's going with you. And the kingdom of God has an opportunity to affect those around you. And they can affect you in a positive way or a negative way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people are just, you know, upset with you for no reason. It's because the kingdom of God's in you. Some people are drawn to you for no reason. Mm-hmm. It's because the kingdom of God is in you. Yeah. When I was in the hospital, I had a couple of nurses that I just felt were like being drawn, and I would communicate to them the love of God. And it's because they were hungry for what
truth
I carried. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because I was anything special. It was because I carried the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And because I was open to the kingdom of God working in and through me, I was able to communicate that to them.
And it's very real. A lot of people don't recognize how real the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness is. Our daughter is a trauma nurse, and she and I were having a conversation just a couple weeks ago, and she was telling me, she says, Mom, I have been in the room when people are passing, and I've been in a room where it was so dark, you could not wait to get out of that room. It was so awful and so, I don't even know the description to give it. Except
like void.
It was dark, yeah. But it was void. And there was just dark. I mean, I can only describe it as being very dark. And the people that were dying were very afraid. Very, very afraid. And then she's been in room with someone where it has been so glorious and so beautiful and so powerful that she's never forgotten it. And one of those times was a little old lady that was passing away, and they're saying, because she's given the medications, and they're saying, can you have her hold on until her grandsons get here? All of her grandsons are coming, and they should be here within an hour or so. And so she kept, there's like, I guess, some medication that they can push through the IVs that keeps them going. And so all the grandsons come, and each one of the grandsons is dressed in one of the stems or the whatever of the military. Like one was Navy, one was Army, one was, you know, whatever, whatever, whatever. And so they were all dressed in their uniform because Grandma was very proud of her boys. And it was a sweet Christian family, sweet, sweet Christian family. And our daughter was there because anytime you take a patient in ER, you're the nurse that transfers them upstairs to keep them with the family until everything happens. And so she was there the whole time. And the boys got there. They're not boys, they're grown men, but, you know, Grandma called them the boys so that they could say goodbye to Grandma because they were a very close family. And finally the wife looked at Melissa and said, can we pray before you stop all that? And she said, yes. And so everybody gathered around Grandma and they pulled Melissa in and all of them prayed over the whole family, Grandma, everybody. They even prayed for Melissa. Everybody got prayed for. And then the nurse or the daughter looked at her and said, okay. And so they slowly took off the medication and Grandma was passing away. And Melissa, by this time, she's very emotional, very sweet. She was just bawling and she's like, okay, I'm going to go now. And so she went to leave. And as she was leaving, all the boys lined up on either side of the hospital room. And as she walked through them, they saluted her. I mean, it was powerful, you guys. I mean, so sweet. But this is what she said. She goes, Mom, even though someone was passing, it was the most lit up room I have ever been in. Because you could tell Jesus was there. This is the question I want to ask everybody as we get ready to be done. Can people recognize in you Jesus is there?
Did they see the light that's flooding in you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Can your eyes, the mm-hmm. light, you know, you're illuminated mm-hmm. with him. Can Jesus be recognized in you? We can know that for a fact if our hearts are so drawn to the extravagance of his work in us who trust him, boundless strength, power, love, everything we need, that people will be able to see that.
Go ahead and close us in prayer after that.
Oh, Father, we are so lacking and we are so beneath what we really deserve, but because of you, because of what you did, the love you have, the blood you shed, the power of who you are, it just can flood us. We don't deserve it, but you love us even though you are light and power and love. And I just pray that every one of us are the eyes of our understanding are enlightened today, that we can know that. It's not a knowing in our mind, but a knowing in our spirit and in our heart. Jesus, you are good. You're so good. You're powerful and you're loving and you're kind. Help us to recognize everything that you are, we can be. Jesus, touch each one of us, our sweet spiritual family. Touch them, God. Let your truth not just be in their minds, but let it go all the way through to the depths of who they are, because your deep cries out to our deep. You long for us, God. Help us to want you, to need you, to understand that we are nothing without you. We love you, God, and we thank you that we had today. We thank you for the freedom that we get to be in as we worship you. Some people are not so lucky. Some people are not so blessed. They don't get to come to a building and worship you. They do it in secret, but God, we can lift our hands before you
in freedom, knowing that you love us and you care for us. Be with each one of us, God. Let us leave today, not as we entered, but changed from glory to glory in you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name.
Flowing. God, I just pray, Lord, that your light would shine so brightly through each and every one of us. God, that this just not be a thing we do, God, but that we would recognize as children of God that we have such a privilege and honor to serve you, Lord, and extend your love wherever we go. So I just pray, Lord, that as we enter our next week, God, of the duties we have, Lord, and in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, that we would be that light, God, that shines so bright wherever we go. We thank you, Father, for this house. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing here, God. We thank you, Father, for our pastors, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you are moving in each and every one of our lives. And I just pray, Lord, all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.